In a world where trust on store shelves is an illusion, where every whiskey release claims to be the best that's ever been, where brands have traded quality for clever marketing, one show dares to take a stand. This is Unfiltered Access, presented by Public Barrel.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that gives you an inside look at the whiskey industry. I'm your host, Dan.
I'm Michael.
And Michael, this show we've been doing for, maybe 7 months now? Eight?
Yeah, I think something we started August, maybe September of last year.
Yeah. 25. And we've had the pleasure of drinking plenty of really good whiskey since then. We've talked about barrels live on the air. We've talked about doing, about picks, about having done picks, the experience of doing single barrel purchases, basically anything whiskey related. We haven't actually done a barrel pick live on the air, have we?
I don't think we have. I mean,
we've bought barrels live on the air.
Yeah. Well, the Texas Weeders, I remember we kind of dove into the higher proof, lower age, and the higher aged, lower proof.
Yeah.
And we kind of dissected that, but we've never really done we're going to actually pick this barrel on the air. So
I think it's time.
Now, for the pick of the week provided by Wine Express.
And this pick of the week provided by Wine Express is a pick for Wine Express.
How about that?
202 Scuffletown Road, Simpsonville, South Carolina, 29681 is the address for the best whiskey and spirit selection probably in the Southeast.
You want to know something crazy about that?
I would love to know.
So our new house is actually going to be just a few miles from Wine Express. So
nice. So you'll see Michael mulling around outside.
Oh yeah.
Frequently.
Yep.
That could be expensive.
Oh, maybe.
You know, we don't live too far away from there either, but it's a, what is in your glass is a double oaked bourbon. This is a 70-21-9 mash bill at 70% corn, 21% rye, 9% malted barley.
This is Tyler
from the defunct OZ Tyler Distillery from Owensboro, Kentucky, which is actually the old Medley Distillery, famous for the original Cream of Kentucky rye that Jillian Van Winkle released under the Van Winkle Family Reserve Rye.
Wow.
Very storied facility, actually. And this is a double oak. It is. It got tanked with some sherry staves at one point, and so it is now back into a freshly dumped Willet barrel. And God, special. I love this whiskey.
Yeah, it's smells like OZ Tyler right off the nose, like that apple.
Yeah, that cinnamon. It's that apple kumquat note that you get on those Kelvin Green Rivers. It is it's just good bourbon.
Yeah, it's very crushable. Like this is, it could be either a summer, like a warm summer day, you want something refreshing, or even like a nice fall weather where you're around like a bonfire or something and get like that apple and that kind of autumn in a glass type feel.
Yeah, I feel like this would stand up to just about any cocktail as well.
Yeah.
So, big fruit character, lots of dark, overripe, like stewed raspberry notes that are kind of underneath that like apple and caramel and cinnamon lift that you get out of those OZ Tyler Kelvins. And then this has, I think from the sherry, and I don't think it was a huge addition on it. I mean, we tried that whiskey and it was nice. It had a nice fruit character, but it wasn't like wine forward.
It doesn't taste finished at all.
No, yeah. You would never guess if I didn't tell you that that's what it was. You would just feel like an extra fruit character to it.
Yeah, and that matches up with, if you're familiar with OZ Tyler and kind of that mash bill there.
Mm-hmm. But I think what it did is give it a lot of texture. So it's got an oiliness to it and a nice like velvety texture to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is barrel 50018.
What was the proof on it?
Proof of these is right at 114 for both of them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and so hyper crushable. I think it would be great with an ice cube. Definitely doesn't need one. Probably like perfect everyman's pour If a distillery made this their normal everyday shelf cask strength release, they would absolutely slay it.
Yeah.
So that's pour number one, which we have to find a way on the fly to evacuate our glasses unless you want to just chug on here. I'll try not to pour as much on the next time. There we go. And we're going to get to number two. And this one, I did vet these barrels earlier. I did not taste them, but I kind of took a good hit off the nose and really checked the barrels. And they should be pretty different as far as this this batch of barrels goes. So when you're looking at a lot of barrels, when I say a lot, not big quantity, I'm talking about like a specific type of mash bill or distillation run. They would call that like a warehouse lot. When you look at a lot of barrels, typically there's going to be one underlying nuanced theme between them, because they're all going to be typically from the same distillation date, from the same age of the staves, and the same cooperage dates. But there can be some detraction and variance between them just based on condition of the oak, where it's at in the warehouse.
I was going to say, if you have one that's kind of wedged in between some barrels versus one that's on the outside,
yeah, it's getting more sun, getting more air, getting more, you know, evaporation. And this is, like, I think way less focused. On the initial hit, it's, like, softer and rounder and kind of less interesting.
Yeah.
Probably the best way to say it.
I was going
to
say it's pretty one-dimensional.
Yeah, so this one I would say clearly needs some time, whereas the other one is drink ready.
Yeah.
And I didn't intend for that to be the case. It also goes to show that these things were about as similarly aged as you could possibly imagine, and they are polar opposites of each other already. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we got to pick 50018.
I agree.
Yeah, you might have to pull that off the list. But go ahead.
I was going to say that was a pretty easy.
Yeah.
Not much argument there.
I didn't intend for it to be that quick. I just was like, I wanted to. Yeah, we had a barrel tagged as a potential for Wine Express, and I thought it would be fun just to do it on the show and just try to talk through some of it, but this was a little easier than I thought it would be.
Was 50018, was that the one we tagged?
Mm-mm.
It was the other one.
Yeah.
The very one-dimensional one. Wow.
Yeah, well, see, it didn't taste that way out of the barrel, but then we were drinking it in the distillery. It was pretty warm in there. When you get whiskey warm, it's more expressive.
Mm-hmm.
And that just makes sense once you get the molecules moving, because they're heated, they become more volatile and you'll pick up more compounds out of it. And so really, to get a really good look at it, you've got to drink it at what temperature you're going to drink it at all the time and see where it settles in at. Where when I had this barrel today, when I was pulling the samples, I was like, wow, that's good.
Wow.
And it was a lot cooler in there too.
Yeah. I was going to say the temperature when you're tasting whiskey is very critical. I remember we actually had a conversation about this. I think it was right after you got back from Wood Hat, where it was like really cold.
Yeah.
And like the samples that you were pulling and drinking out of, like, they seemed pretty tight with it being middle of winter in the middle of Missouri.
And yeah, it was bad. I had no clue, honestly, that central Missouri got that cold. And you know, I've never spent much time outside the Ozarks, but like, I had no idea that it had that kind of climate. And same thing, you know, it was warm in the distillery when we were having these, and the pours were, honestly, we were pretty warm because we were working vigorously to get the bottling done. And
was it 258, 56 bottles
did? Plus what I had to do, what we packed up before you got there. Yeah. So, you know, trying to fit that in, I was like, we need to give it some more time. So I am excited to share this with you. This is a double oak from Public Barrel, 6.5 year straight bourbon whiskey. You will be able to find it on your shelves at Wine Express. We'll be back after these messages.
Wine Express in Five Forks has the upstate's largest selection of whiskey. From craft to ultra rare to an unrivaled selection of exclusive single barrels, including many from the hosts of Unfiltered Access. If you're looking for that hard-to-get allocated release, they have that too. And every point you spend adds up to reward your loyalty. If it's available in South Carolina, you'll find it at Wine Express Five Forks.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that lifts the veil on the whiskey industry.
Welcome back to this week's installment of Unfiltered Access, the show that gives you an inside look at the whiskey industry. I'm your host, Michael.
I'm your host, Dan.
And what do we got in the glass now?
We have some murky-looking brown pond water.
Pond water is a great description of this. So this was... What do we even call this? Like,
this is a straight bourbon whiskey hailing from Kentucky from a mash bill of 72% corn, 13% rye, and 15% malted barley. Officially. So when you buy barrels on the secondary market, and I'm not talking about full barrels, I'm talking about empty barrels, you can buy what they would call furniture grade decoration barrels that are never meant to hold spirits again. And then you can buy barrels that were sold specifically to these barrel brokers that are shipped quote unquote wet so that they're still in good shape to age spirits. And so you would put a light whiskey on top of them or a rum or something that would need not new charred oak, but it would just need more oak or a nuanced oak. Or you can put double oaked bourbon or rye on top and get more character out of that barrel because the entry spirit's different going back into it. And so this is freshly dumped new Kentucky bourbon, and it is phenomenal. And and we got these barrels, and when they say they're wet, they are wet enough to actually bottle whiskey out of.
Yeah. So it's funny, we were filling up one of the barrels and we had to move it because we were shifting a bunch of stuff around in the distillery, and when we had opened the bung, so the little plug that goes into the barrel, it was wet, and we're like, this is like soaking wet, like there's whiskey in here even though we, you know, paid for an empty barrel. And sure enough, we dumped it,
and we got a ton all over the floor and still almost filled up a bottle.
Yeah between the two of us, and I mean, it needed to be filtered out badly because it was, I mean, you could even, I mean, listeners can't see it, but yeah, it's very murky, very cloudy, oily, all the above, but it is really good whiskey.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. So this is this came out of a freshly dumped Willett barrel, and these were the family estate single barrel first use oaks, and the whiskey's incredible. It's every bit as good as I would hope that a single barrel 6 year 130 proof Willett single barrel bourbon would be.
Yeah, and it's kind of a testament to those barrels that we've been filling up, because just over a couple of weeks we've kind of went back and sampled some of the whiskeys that we dumped into them, and they're doing some good work.
Yeah, it's the right, so even when we tried it with the actual Willets that we do own, moving them back into higher aged Willett barrels for double oaking, even when we tried that, it was, the results were kind of uncanny. You know, you kind of were like, maybe not you specifically, but you as in humanity would be like, you know, how do you know if it's going to be good? Well, you take really good base whiskey and you take the whiskey out of that barrel. Typically, that barrel is going to carry that flavor that it gave the whiskey. So you've got a good chance of getting those flavors right, but you still never know. And the results that we've had out of those Willets made it worth just pulling the trigger on this. I mean, the price point was awesome. So,
yeah, we had lots of whiskey to find a home for. So,
yeah,
we couldn't, perfect home, perfect match.
We acquired all this whiskey, and it had been put in totes because the facility in Charleston that Terracentia owned before it sold to Green River was a laboratory, and so that product had all been toted. And so we're not in a place to be able to long term hold totes, but we can hold barrels. And I'd rather the product continue to age rather than sitting in totes and not getting any new character if we're not going to bottle it right away. And so I think it's a home run. I mean, the barrels were awesome. The whiskey that is now coming out of the barrels is awesome. The one that we bottled on Saturday was fantastic.
Yeah, and even the 95.5 rye.
Yeah, I tried the... we both tried the double oak yesterday. Yeah, so that one's solid. I think it needs a little time, but
oh sure.
I'm curious to try the 7 year, that 70-21-9 MGP, the experimental mash bill that we got out that was 7 years old that we put into the other barrels. I'm curious to try how that came out, because I can only imagine good things for that. The base whiskey was awesome. So we've got a lot of really cool whiskey. When you see Double Oak on a label, it's kind of best way to say it is it's kind of inconspicuous as far as what it exactly is in the bottle. Double Oak could mean a lot of things. It just means that it's been hit with two different types of oak at some point. It doesn't even have to say straight bourbon after that, so it could be hit with other things, and maybe I don't know if it's technicality at that point, but the results that you can get by adding more oak to whiskey really, really works for just about anybody. I mean, that's Detling's put his entire reputation on it. You know, his whole flavor profile is the fact that he double and triple oaks almost everything he does, and that's all new charred oak. So it's new charred oak in really hot climate and a lot of humidity and low proof, and that's what he banks on, but it works for him. And this, I think, is a little more universally approachable. You get that nice creamy density on that. This one probably needs more time, but the quality of the barrels that we got is just phenomenal.
Yeah, definitely a good purchase.
Appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
So we are going to... segment three, we're gonna do the question of the day. I've got a really good one posted up from us from the Discord group, and then I've got a pretty good feel good story for segment four. So this is gonna be a pretty fun episode. But I'm really thankful you brought that to try. We didn't even talk about it.
We didn't talk about the murky whiskey.
Yeah, we didn't talk about, like, I didn't even talk about doing the barrel pick, and you just happened to bring the base barrel that these two came out of.
So I was like, I wanted something pretty unique, and we can kind of talk about the leftover whiskey from a wet barrel, and then talk about wet versus a dry barrel and all that. So
when he's talking about murky whiskey, one, it's got obviously a lot of particulate in it. And that was after it got filtered through a coffee filter.
Yeah.
To you take out all the chunks.
Before it was filtered, it was
yeah.
I was like, I'm scared to try this.
So what that is an indication that the fats in the distillate are so abundant that they have amalgamated themselves to the base distillate. And ethanol, being a solvent, has some capability to keep things in suspension. But it's still rare to find whiskey that has that kind of an appearance. And that's probably just because it was sitting in such a low headspace in the barrel, but it's pretty wild to get to taste something that good.
Yeah. And that much, like you said, we almost had a full bottle.
If you'd like to reach out to us, it's info@publicbarrel.com. You can find us on Facebook @publicbarrel or Instagram @publicbarrel. You can find the show on every major podcast platform at Unfiltered Access. We'll be back after these messages.
Unfiltered Access is brought to you in part by Capsulite. Taking care of your health is so important, and Capsulite is a great way to give your liver a boost before enjoying any adult beverages. Unfiltered Access listeners get an exclusive 30% off at capsulyte.com with code UNCUT30. capsulyte.com with code UNCUT30. Enjoy responsibly, and let Capsulite make your next morning more enjoyable as well.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that lifts the veil on the whiskey industry.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that gives you an inside peek at the whiskey industry. I'm your host, Dan.
I'm Michael.
And I think we're going to go ahead and just launch this segment.
Share your thoughts and your whiskey. This is the Liquid Ministry question of the day.
So the Liquid Ministry question of the day, proudly sponsored by our friends over at Liquid Ministry. Go check them out, www.liquidministry.com, for the industry's best sample bottles. Share your whiskey. The question of the day comes from Discord. This is from my buddy Blake, and he says, at what point is oxidation a real thing that impacts the whiskey? How many transfer their bottles to 375s if you don't plan on killing the bottle quickly? And then he says, maybe a good question of the week, Dan Pope.
That is a fantastic question of the week.
So, the the thought process behind decanting off your bottles once they get past a certain level of headspace, headspace being the amount of air that is now in the bottle because the liquid has declined from drinking. The thought process behind that is that you will preserve the remaining liquid by reducing the amount of oxygen that it's exposed to. So if you're not planning on absolutely just killing the bottle, if it's up on the shelf and you're like, oh, I'll nibble on it over the course of the next 15 years, yeah, theoretically, if you don't want it to change at all or to change less, decanting it into a smaller format bottle with less headspace of air would theoretically allow for less oxidation. Now, is that better for the whiskey? That's totally up to the eye of the beholder. I don't know that it would be that it's necessarily beneficial. I think oxidative characteristics actually bring a lot into the realm of complexity and roundness and fullness of the drink. So some things need oxygen. They need to breathe, quote unquote. That's why people sometimes when they get into neck pours, quote unquote, of a bottle, they say that it's tight or hot or didn't really feel complex. And so
it was like a cigar blend.
Yeah.
That was like the big complaint was it's really tight off the rip, but
way tight. Some of them.
Yeah. But then, you know, a couple weeks, a couple months later, so good.
Yeah. And so the theoretical answer for that is that you can. I feel that it's, one, not necessary unless you're really trying to preserve something for some historical or potentially relational reason. You know, you've got some sort of like family tradition or heirloom type of experience that you want to create for that. If you wanted to toast somebody annually or something and you want to have that experience, then yeah, that would make sense to go ahead. But if you're going to do that, get your box of Liquid Ministry sample bottles, 1 or 2 ounce samples, and decant the whole thing into those and pull one of those every so often. Because you're going to have the same problem. As soon as you pour out of the 375, you're inviting more air into the bottle. Whether no matter how much your headspace is, you're going to keep oxidizing that bottle.
And especially, you know, you open it more often. Like if yeah. you just have a nibble here and you just keep doing that over the course of weeks, months, then you're just exposing it to air every single time.
Yeah, and it's going to continue changing. And it might be for the better, but at some point, bottles will go over the edge. And I've had bottles that have been open for 20, 30 years. You remember that 1969 Jim Beam that we had? That gentleman shared with me that was undrinkable?
Yeah.
So there is a point to where oxidation turns into wet cardboard notes and just like undrinkable.
Attic floor.
Yeah, attic floor. And you've lost all of the character that made it special. And if you're trying to preserve something for a long period of time, just buy a 12-pack of bottles from our sponsor of the segment, Liquid Ministry. Decant the whole thing into 1 or 2 ounce bottles, whatever you want for a pour or two pours in one night or whatever you want to do. Decant the rest of it that way, and then that way you're not introducing any new headspace until you're actually ready to drink it. And that should be the most assured way of not changing the base distillate. And it's still, you know, there's always going to be oxygen finds a way in, evaporation finds a way out. It just happens. You know, you're dealing with volatile compounds that want to aspirate. So it's going to be pulling in or pushing out pretty much all times with atmospheric changes, with light changes, temperature changes. It is a very volatile substance in that regard. So it will change. It's probably not going to change to the point that it's, you know, that it's a bad thing. But the more you can reduce that, the more you can seal it off, the less that happens. And so I really think that's the only appropriate way to do it if you're going to do it. I wouldn't waste time on smaller format bottles unless you're really decanting it down to one single unit. You have anything to add to that?
No, I'm a big offender of I open a bottle and I forget about it for a while, and then I go back and visit it and I'm like, this is way different.
Yeah.
Luckily,
usually not for the worse though, right?
No, not usually.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially like the higher proof stuff, like you let it get some air, you know, so to speak, then it typically mellows out a little bit and ends up being really enjoyable. But yeah, there's been times where I've opened a whiskey because I was like, oh, like Clemson won this game, or like we had this kid, or, you know, I got this promotion, and then I kind of forget about it, and then I go back and try it and I'm like, this is a little different. But sometimes good, sometimes bad, but most of the time it's good.
If you're waiting for celebratory win pours, then you've really got some time in between drinks sometimes with Clemson.
Yeah, that's a whole other... This isn't a sports podcast, or else you could really go off the deep end.
Yeah, I would say I probably still offended the handful of people that are probably listening right now anyways. But you know what? Play better football, get better prizes.
Or just pay players more money. Because that's what it's all about now.
That's why I've always been an NFL fan, and then it just iced it. I was like, if you're going to pay people, just pay them. Don't do it under the table. And then they started doing it for the NCAA, and it would be fine if they didn't have the stinking transfer portal rules the way they do, where you can literally just buy a team for a year.
Yeah.
That's why I just can't get into it. I can't do that. We just went off the rails on this because it's such a – I still don't understand it.
That's just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much we can go in on. But.
Oh, I know. But don't worry. They'll keep raising tuition, too.
Speaking of Clemson, did you see the well, we were just talking about it, but the stats that they got from the George Strait concert.
Nice transition. I like that.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't believe the amount of money they made off that concert just from food and beverage. So, just in alcohol, and mind you, I think it's just like beer and seltzers. Like, I don't even think they serve hard liquor in the stadium.
They were... Actually, I don't know the answer to that. I do know that there were places in the stadium to get mixed drinks.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if that was for the general public.
But just in alcohol sales, they made $1.8 million off that concert. And then total from alcohol and food and, you know, soft drinks, it was $2.8 million in gross revenue.
Man. So they're over the 50% threshold for the the SC venue crisis, where they've got the crazy liquor liability tax.
Yeah, it's madness.
Yeah. I mean, that's good for them. Here's the thing is that they probably paid for all of the overhead on that concert with the ticket sales, because it sold 90-something thousand seats.
Yeah.
Which, if you're going to bring a headline act and you've got that kind of, you know, I can't imagine what they paid George Strait for that concert, but... And his crew, you know, I'm sure it's not all going to him. He's trying to put out the best production as possible. So lights, audio tech, additional speakers, band setup,
security,
probably. Yeah. I mean, so the amount of money going to the headline act is still probably breathtaking, but it's not every single dollar of every single ticket minus the venue cost. But I would guarantee that if you can sell 90,000 tickets at, let's say, an average ticket price of $125, then you can probably cover all of that, and that alcohol and that food and beverage sale was just straight up icing on the cake.
Yep.
Wonder how much they're going to reduce tuition for all the students there because they generated so much profit off of that.
That's not above my pay grade.
That's not the purpose of it, Dad. So they can expand their football purchases.
That's right.
Yeah, hopefully you can get a quarterback in the transfer portal now.
I heard
DJ Ukulele is looking for a job.
Oh, probably. But no, I think they're set on Q next year. It's going to be Vizina.
Are they?
Yeah, the backup from this year. They're making him the starter, it sounds like. So we'll see.
Go figure. We'll see. I mean, at least you drink, so at least you have something to look forward to.
That's right.
We'll be back after these messages.
Wine Express in Five Forks has the upstate's largest selection of whiskey. From craft to ultra rare to an unrivaled selection of exclusive single barrels, including many from the hosts of Unfiltered Access. If you're looking for that hard-to-get allocated release, they have that too. And every point you spend adds up to reward your loyalty. If it's available in South Carolina, you'll find it at Wine Express Five Forks.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that lifts the veil on the whiskey industry.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access. I'm your host, Dan.
I'm Michael.
Michael, we had a good conversation right at the end of the last segment about alcohol sales and venue sales. And I actually, this rang a bell for me, and I didn't want to go into this and then hit the stoppage on the segment. So I spoke to, and he'd probably let me quote him, but I didn't ask him, so I'm not going to. But I spoke to a gentleman that's been highly connected in South Carolina politics for a very long time. And I actually brought up the Venue Crisis is the group that is the lobby for the state's either removal, reversal, or rewriting of the liquor liability tax laws.
Mm-hmm.
And he had mentioned, and so he has done some lobbying in Kentucky, or not Kentucky, in the Columbia State House, on behalf of Kentucky Bourbon in the past, and trying to help open up some of the distribution laws here. And this was years ago. He mentioned that the issue that we're having, or at least his perception of, and so this is, you know, that's why I'm not going to quote him, because he probably wouldn't have told me this on the air, at least the way that he did. But paraphrasing, the reason that we're having all of these issues getting those laws fixed, and he, and this was my perception as well, and he agreed with it, is that the issue is that the lawmakers that would need to fix it, 90% of the people in Columbia that are elected officials are trial lawyers, and they're the sole individuals profiting off of these laws, along with the insurance companies, obviously. But he had told me that a venue near him was paying over $3,000 a month for liability insurance just for the liquor.
Wow.
And this past year, it went up to $15,000 a month. He's never had a claim.
That's insane.
Never had a claim, never had an accusation, never had a citation for over service. And so with us having a spirit show, with us trying to spread the good word of community and communal social activity, and build, not necessarily build the alcohol industry, but build the communal industry, the mm-hmm. social industry. I thought it would be a good thing for us to talk about. We never talk about it. It's a huge thing, especially here in the state. Mm-hmm. I would say that a quarter of our customers, maybe more, are going to be ultimately restaurants and bars, and then 100% of our customers go to restaurants and bars. So it's a pretty important thing. And then a lot of our retail partners are also retailers for restaurants and bars.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's affected by this. But if you live, if you breathe, and you eat, and you communicate with other people, you are ultimately affected by this one way or another. You might think alcohol is the worst thing possible, and you want to eradicate it from the face of the earth. But if it's closing down businesses and putting people out of work, and causing restaurants that maybe that's not their focus, maybe they just happen to have spirits, you know, in the facility, and they have to shut down their excellent food program and lay off your neighbors, this does affect everybody. Yeah, so
definitely has a ripple effect for sure.
Yeah. So, and it doesn't seem like anybody's really, you know, the trialers are making bank off of it when they get a case, but this is actually argued so infrequently. You know, there's some landmark trial cases every single year, but not enough that it's really feeding the piggy banks of the people that hope they will. They just hope they catch this $100 million verdict and they get 30% of it because there's this big bank at the insurance company that can fund it. But that being said, I have spoken to my state representative. I've spoken to my state senator. They're both in favor and actually actively trying to at least rewrite this, if not reverse it completely, to help save some venues. And I wanted to challenge the listeners we have. Have you put much thought into this? If you have, and you feel like, you know, maybe that we could change that, maybe they don't need to be paying $10,000 a month for liability insurance for over service every single venue. I want to challenge people here on the air to actually pick up the phone and call their state representatives, their state senator. You can look it up at, I think it's scsenate.gov, and then sc, I think. You can look it up. Just look, Google it.
Google it or AI it.
Yeah. Just say, hey, what's my state representative's phone number? And place a phone call. You'll have to tell them you're a constituent. They might ask for your address. They might ask for your zip code. They might not ask for anything. But most of them, their offices are pretty good about getting back with you one way or another. Definitely, you don't have to ask for a return phone call. But even if you get sent to an answering machine, leave a message. The more of you that speak out and the more they're fearful they might not get reelected every 2 years, they will move the needle, because the most important thing to them, even more important if you're in Columbia than a big trial or a case, is being reelected. All of them have a pride complex in that, you know, they're definitely going to move if their constituents force their hand. So if you care about this, if you care about your local bar and grill, if you care about your local dive, the spot where you went on your first date, spot where you went and had your first celebratory pour after getting the new job.
Yep.
If you care about any of these places, you care about where your friend goes and plays guitar on Friday nights, you need to go and you need to lobby and you need to tell your legislatures that you care that this gets fixed, and it gets fixed in this session. So just wanted to challenge y'all. That was it. Now, you know, kind of a going on a rant, but it's important.
Yeah.
It's really important for us. I mean, not for selling whiskey, but for enjoying it, you know?
Yeah. As much as I like drinking at home or drinking at your home, it's always nice to go out, maybe take the wives out and have a good night.
Yeah. And for me in this industry, it's also for me to go out and support people that are doing a good job and support other businesses and the people that they hire. And I actually do think about that when I go out there. It's not all about me. It's about, hey, let's go out tonight. Let's go and, you know, feed the economy a little bit and see other people. And so just wanted to throw that out there. I did want to go ahead and launch into
the feel-good story of the week, sponsored by Capsulite.
The feel-good story of the week, and I didn't discuss this with you earlier.
Oh, boy.
It's actually the feel-bad story of the week, because I forgot to take Capsulite. Actually, so Capsulite, it comes in, it's a little packet of four supplements. It's got milk thistle extract. It's got a compound that helps you break down, it's dimethyl something hydride, it helps you break down ethanol in your gut before it gets to your liver. And I had a celebratory pour the other night with some friends. I had stopped into a bar. I was running early to go and visit another friend at another bar. And I was like, oh, I'll go in here and just check it out. I hadn't been there forever. And so I sat down, and then one of my coworkers walked in, and then a guy that I hired back in the past walked in randomly.
Wow.
And then a wine sommelier that I love dearly that I haven't seen in a decade happened to walk in. And the bartender was a dude I didn't even know that worked there, but I used to employ him 5 years ago.
That's crazy.
And so there were five of us there. All of us loosely knew each other, but didn't know each other, like, together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bought a bottle of champagne and just, like, you know, just kind of having good time, rehashing good times, just celebrating. Then I went to go visit my other friend, and we had a couple cocktails and stuff, and I traveled safely home, not me driving. I Ubered.
There you go.
And then I got home, and I had a pour, and then Rachel wanted to celebrate something that for work. I had a really great week at work, and so it was a bad day the next day. Take your Capsulite. It will make your week feel better, certainly your night. Tune in next week to Unfiltered Access, the show that gives you an inside look at the whiskey industry. We'll see you then.
Unfiltered Access is brought to you in part by Capsulite. Taking care of your health is so important, and Capsulite is a great way to give your liver a boost before enjoying any adult beverages. Unfiltered Access listeners get an exclusive 30% off at capsulyte.com with code UNCUT30. CAPSULYTE.com with code UNCUT30. Enjoy responsibly, and let Capsulite make your next morning more enjoyable as well.
You've been listening to Unfiltered Access, brought to you by Public Barrel.
For more information, visit publicbarrel.com.